Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting! Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I am your host. And today I bring you people from all over the world and all walks of life who are here to share their journey with you around the Law of Attraction so you can have an amazing life too. So today's guest, her name is Tiffany Nguyen, and she is a spiritual life coach and helps busy professionals and sensitive high achievers reconnect with their truths and live authentically. With her analytical brain and her intuitive tarot reading skills, Tiffany brings a unique approach to one's self-transformation journey. And thank you so much for being here, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Oh, of course. I love having people from all walks of life and all over the world. So thank you for coming. Tiffany, how did you come into the Law of Attraction and how has it changed your life?
Well, I think the first time I heard about it, probably from the book, The Secret. And there, I didn't really read the book, but I did watch, you know, a lot of summary video that just like tons of information on it. And at first I didn't really kind of like believe it because I think it's ludicrous. But eventually it's not like what exactly what it's about, but it's more about like the mindset and how to reset the mind, how you think about things and how you feel about things. And that I do feel that is does attract different things. So when I change my mind a lot about things and change my feeling about it, better thing comes. So definitely there's something about that Law of Attraction right there.
Yeah. Well, and like you and being a spiritual coach, I consider myself a spiritual coach too. I'm a certified soul coach. And that got me into this whole world, honestly, was connecting with the truth of me and my spirit. Tell us more about your spiritual coaching and your journey around spirituality, if you don't mind sharing. Because you came from Vietnam, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So my journey started, I guess, with like a dark night of the soul kind of events, very long drawn out events. So I immigrated to the US when I was 16, so all by myself, and it was very difficult. If you move to a different country when you didn't know the language and the culture by yourself, it's quite horrible. So I felt very isolated, and it was just a terrible experience. So I became very depressed, and I got into trying to get into a lot of relationships that I shouldn't be in, just so I wouldn't be alone. And then life did get better, but eventually I would just really suppress all of the negative emotion and to try to move on and becoming almost like a robot and just like achieving the goal and not trying to actually be better. It took, I guess, almost a decade. I moved to Florida eventually and was pursuing my doctorate degree in pharmacy. And I was engaged at that time. And one day I was just lounging around with my best friend, and she was just passing off a comment that she would have a relationship like mine. And I would just look at her like it wasn't that great. And then we opened up and had this beautiful, vulnerable moment of sharing our own past and our own painful experiences. And I just basically friendly told her I hated myself. I think I didn't deserve anything. And she was, you know, she was adamant that I deserve it. And I was also adamant that she deserved the best thing. And a few months later, it didn't really struck me because I couldn't believe what she said. But I guess a few months later, that's the small epiphany that I had. I think if I swap places with her, I would never even think to consider her anything less. So I realized that I was too hard on myself and I forgave myself for everything in the past. And that really kickstarted my spiritual journey of self-forgiveness. And And so that's just make me realize that I was in denial for a very long time. And I was just hating myself. And it made me realize that I lost myself in the way. I didn't know what I wanted anymore. And a lot of things no longer aligned with me. So it was like a hard look, and it took a lot of brutal honesty and courage to face it. And after that, you know, after having that realization, it's just like moving on with action, like, okay, what no longer working, not what's no longer aligned with me. So I broke off the engagement and continued to finish my degree. And then I think almost a year later, that's when I stumbled upon my teacher to learn about meditation. And that's been a great, great journey ever since.
You know, meditation changed my life too, by the way. And your story sounds somewhat familiar to me, because I too was kind of a shell of a person. I actually wrote it in my book, Thrive and Shine, How to Find Happiness When Life Falls Apart, because for the first 35 years, I was a shell of a person. I didn't know who I was. So kind of similar, like you have that moment, that epiphany, that aha, like, wait, I deserve better, or I want to be happy and I want to know who I am. And the spiritual path was my same journey, but it was through meditation for me as well. So tell people more about that, because I keep touting to everyone, meditation is life-changing, and everyone's like, well, maybe I'll try it. But now you were telling people it changed your life too. So can you share about that?
Yeah. So I heard a lot of the health benefit and just, you know, general benefit of meditation for a long time. And I kept trying to try it, you know, meditate. And for 3 years, I kept trying and I failed. I kept falling asleep. It did not work. So I thought I was one of those, you know, a special case, you know, just a lot cost on a lot of these spiritual practice. But it really took that self-forgiveness to start. Like it's like being honest with myself. So I think is Lao Tzu has a very accurate quote of when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. So it really took me myself to start healing on that spiritual journey before I can even meet my teacher. And that's when I meet him, like things click up, you know, like I understood what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Before I would read a lot of spiritual books, like from Dalai Lama, from Eckhart Tolle, I didn't get it. It was too dry for me. So inevitably I would fall asleep also. But with my teacher, they basically all the guru would teach basically the same stuff. But when I was ready, yeah, the thing makes sense. And mm-hmm. meditation now has changed my life. It's really is increased the awareness. And it would just really put you, it's almost like giving you like this foundation that you don't feel so lost when things in life become very challenging.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you said though, you had to work on you before you could really truly meditate and understand your teachers, because just this morning when I was meditating, I noticed that when I say I surrender, like there's a knowing that says, okay, surrender. Cause I tap into the divine pretty easily. I had a spiritual awakening in 2011. And so I tap in pretty easy, but not always. Right. But today I paid attention and I actually heard myself or my higher self saying, you need to surrender before we can come in. Cause I always invite spirit in, and it's not until I surrender that it comes in. So what you're saying was kind of goes in alignment with that. And I love that that just happened today, because I think the biggest thing that people are unwilling to do is to look at themselves and do the work. And it sounds like that was something you struggled with too, right?
Yes, because I think in the beginning it would just, so like with my journey, when I started and I have this kind of turn eye of the soul experience, it was just very difficult. And especially when I was so young, I don't really understand how to go on from that. And it was almost like a coping mechanism for a lot of, I guess, like trauma or a lot of things happens in life. And later on, once you get past that, it was so easy to fell into this typical habit of coping, negative, coping habit that I was just confused and lost. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know what I was missing to actually do anything differently. But it's really all boiled down to how honest and we have to be brave to take the step to actually face ourselves and all of ourselves, our shadow, our light, everything, all of that. And also it comes with acceptance that, you know, we are not different. We're not who we're trying to be differently. And it just really, that's kind of acceptance that's really set off at the whole healing journey. And we have to, in a sense, have that discipline and persistence to follow the path. Because it's, I think once you start on the path, you realize it's going to be a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, I heal myself and that's it. It's not like a threshold or a level that you get. But eventually, you realize that letting go is like a lifelong practice. You know, we don't just learn a class of letting go and then we pass out of it. It's not how it works. So that's a lot of similar thing with spiritual path, which is, I think spirituality is always very personal and everyone have their own way to get in touch with themselves and to understand themselves and whatever way that works to make their life better. It's always very personal, but it's always usually gonna be a lifelong practice.
Yes. Yes. And you know what, Tiffany, I love that you've gone through this. I can tell that you've really done the work. Like I connect with you on so many levels and I can see it just seeing you, your energy. I can feel you really understand it. And it is a lifelong journey. There's no ending. We get in this mindset that, okay, if I have this, then I'll be happy. If I do that, then I've arrived. And if I've done this, I've succeeded. And yet what I realize is through spirituality too, it's like, it's all about being, it's all about growing. It's all about, I crave those aha moments that come in spontaneous times or the moments where I'm in so much bliss and joy for no reason at all. Like that's life. It's no longer about, well, if I get that job, I'll be happy. If I get that partner, I'll be happy. But it's more of, and that's what all the spiritual teachers say, right? It's really the journey. It's not the destination.
Yeah, it's really, I think it really took me like several crises to actually understand this.
and that's actually meant to be, I think. I think we need those crises to really get up. Anyway, go on. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, we do. I think we do need challenges and crises to understand a lot of things. If we're just cruising along, we were never triggered to actually figure out like something is wrong with us, you know? It have to take some challenges to see that, okay, maybe there's something missing with us. There was a saying by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Zen master. So he's a Vietnamese Zen master. It was a time where it was very chaotic. I was looking for a different job. My job was very stressful. My family life was very stressful. Everything was very stressful. And he has a saying that if you want peace, it is with you immediately. And at the time, I didn't get it. I'm like, sure, you can say that. You're a monk. What could actually happen, you know? But it's actually true. And I really look back and it's like, you're always thinking in terms of goal, in terms of future. It's like, or we think either in terms of future or in the past. We're like, if we didn't make this mistake, or if we get this job, or if we get this partner, so like you said, who will be happy? So at that time when I was like struggling a lot, I was looking back on my history and I'm like, yeah, he actually has a point. Cause when I was in Switzerland, when I first immigrated, I was like, okay, when I get into college, I will be happy. I didn't like, you know, not much to change. And then, okay, maybe when I get a job, when I get a full-time job, then I will be happy. I also did not. I was so stressed out of my mind on my full-time job. So clearly, it wasn't dependent on whatever goal I think that I should achieve next to be happy. And if I cannot find, and eventually become like my old mantra, like if I cannot find happiness or peace right now, right here, I will never find it in the future when I eventually get those goals also. So, but it's always, like I said, spirituality is a practice. It's easier said than done.
But also, so I became a certified happiness coach with Dr. Robert Holden, and he had this thing of scale 0 to 10, and 10 being like the happiest ever and 0 being like suicidal, you know? And he said, you can only reach a 10. You said you can't reach a 10 alone. And I actually completely got it, because what I took it as, that was spirit. Spirit was the reason that brought me to a 10. That means I'm not alone. And that rut's really changed my life. So to me, spirituality is what aided in my happiness and joy. Also, when we have those moments when we're alone and there's nothing around us that's making us happy. And yet those are some of the happiest moments I've ever had, was when I was alone and I'm like, because I'm not alone, right? When I connected with spirit and I'm out in nature. So what is that quote again? He said, you find peace now.
If you want peace, it is with you immediately.
Immediately. And I get it. I get it. Yay. So true. Cause it is just that's the miracle. I know Course in Miracles talks a lot about, you know, the miracle is in the change of the mindset. It is about the perspective shift, and there's your immediately things change.
So yes. So we really can change our life at the speed of thought. But because we are also dynamic, complex human being, it's not just thinking that we can change. We also need to process our own emotion also.
Right.
And emotion is processed at a much slower rate than thought. And so we just go on for the ride, you know, don't force ourselves, you know? So that's one of the things that I think I repeat a lot with my client, like, okay, let's take it. Okay. You know, like you don't have to rush, like, because I work with high achiever, I am one. And we have this tendency to overachieve. So like, okay, if, you know, I'm supposed to get this deadline, I want to overachieve and do it, like finish it before the deadline. And we tend to apply it also with our spirituality. So like, okay, let me, our goal is to meditate, let's say for 30 minutes. Let me start out with 1 hour, you know, like we're always trying to overachieve. And same thing with peace and happiness. So like, okay, if I, you know, all those scale, like, okay, I want to reach a 10. You know, but if I want to overachieve, I want to reach a 10 like tomorrow. So like it's not how it works. Like just like we cannot force ourselves to feel certain things, we also need to relax that kind of control. You know,
and I think it's that letting go, you know, it's that surrendering.
It is a lot about letting go. And I think it must be one of the most challenging that for humans to actually go through for spirituality. We have the tendency to like to be in control. We like to be in control as much as we can. You know, we try to control the weather. We try to predict it. We try to control nature. We try to control our own emotions, our own life, everything that happened to us. And it's just a filter attempt. Like, it's good that we try to, you know, when we always seeking knowledge and we learn better and how to be in more harmony, but there will never be a time when we can be completely 100% control of everything in our life, because it's just not. We don't live in a vacuum that we can control the environment and everything. So we really have to start letting go and accept a lot of things that we're not in control of, and letting go of that control and just go with the flow. Basically learn to go with the flow, but actually not only accepting, but actually loving to be with the flow. And don't just like, okay, I guess I'll go with the flow, and very resistant to what is. So it's a practice. It's a practice.
Well, and I think in some ways, and I know maybe you could say this now, but you probably didn't say it at the time, but being brought to the United States at 16 years old and being ill prepared and going through that actually shaped you to realize that you can survive a lot. And people who go through struggles, and like in other countries especially, I see the strength within those people because they've been through a lot. And when you go through a lot, you realize how much you can survive. And I think many people in America, although this year's proven that we're all get to practice our resilience with COVID, but I do believe that we, the more we go through struggle, the more we get the strength, the more we surrender, actually. The stronger we are, the more we surrender. That's been my experience, because the when it gets so hard, sometimes it's just my human mind just can't handle it. So I say, okay, I got to give this to somebody. A lot of people, all of a sudden, they start praying to God, even though they never believed in God, because things are so hard. I think so innately, when we do get those challenges, we are gifted with that moment of strength and resilience and the ability to surrender more, which then opens up to more of who you are. And then life becomes more joyful. It's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but it seems you and I went through that same thing, right?
I strongly believe that all challenges basically pose a window of opportunity for us to look deeper into ourselves, to see how we react to things and why we react that way. But that's not to say that everything is meant to happen that way. Looking back, it does really take a lot of time. So almost two decades later, I think looking back then, yes, I would say I was grateful for the experience and I would not change a thing, because I needed to go through to have those challenge times and to, I'm actually very grateful for the experience right now. But I would say for also a lot of people, there's so much trauma that they went through that it's very hard to say that it is meant to happen that way. But the only thing we can do the only thing that we meant to do is to go on the healing journey ourselves. Everybody have to go on their own journey. Because I met some people with very, very traumatic experience. And it's not supposed to happen that way. It's not meant to be like that way, but we cannot change it. So mm-hmm. The best thing we can do is we just have to let it go again, but also starting on really our whole old healing journey.
Yeah.
And the healing journey is a spiral process, so it doesn't have a time frame. And even when you think that, you know, that's happened to me very often, like even when I think I heal something, suddenly I got triggered again and it start again at a deeper level. So I hope, like, if everybody watching this and they feel like it's so horrible and it's so hard and stuff like that, it does get easier.
Yeah.
It does get easier. I think the hardest one is going to be in the beginning when we were so lost.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you grew up in Vietnam. Vietnam's been through some horrible, horrible times. And I'm sure you got that through your ancestors, your culture, through, you know, your parents and grandparents, you know, and I think there's a part of us that is innately wanting to grow to be the best versions of us, and in spite of our past. And it's just almost like a seed was planted in you really young, like you're a fighter, you know, because your country's been through so much. I could only imagine that there's a lot of strength within the people in your culture. And I know I'm generalizing, but I could only imagine.
So our history are riddled with words. Like, we rarely have any peaceful time. It was just like one word after the other. And it was very difficult, especially for my family, because I grew up in the South. So there's a lot of traumatic experience for people in the South. It's just, I think for me, the more I understand about spirituality, and also with my background, is we never live here. And like, we're never truly independent. We're actually very interconnected, not only at the spiritual level, but at the human being level. You know, you were born here and you were not meant to go through life by yourself, like independently. And we're all very interconnected. And it's good to cultivate and nourish very fulfilling and long-lasting relationships in our life. And I think with the trend, and I think most in the Western world, is that we just tend to look for specific relationship, specifically romantic soulmate relationship. And that is nice notions, but it's not always a focus in our life. And it's very narrow. Like, we really limit ourselves if we just focus on, okay, I just need to find this perfect soulmate and everything gonna be perfect and everything gonna be fine and everything gonna be good, right? You know, like everything will fall into place. That's not how it works. And that's just not how it works. And sorry to break anyone that's listening. But like, so I used to read tarot professionally, and that's one of the top questions, like, when I'm gonna meet my soulmate. I also ask the same question when I was very lonely. I'm like, I keep asking a psychic, right? When I'm gonna meet my soulmate? When is he coming here? But that's actually, that's very narrow and that's very limiting. And with my background in Vietnam, and I'm very grateful for it, I think it was it's a huge privilege to be born and grow up in Asia, because the culture is so different and so spiritual. Like 100% of Vietnamese have ancestorship. Like, we all believe in ancestor, regardless of what religion we are. So we never don't just believe just one thing, like one religion. We all believe in ancestorship, and that's like overshadow all the other religion. And it was great because we know that we're not always alone on, like, already like subconscious level, on the spiritual level, that we're always counting on, okay, our ancestor gonna bless us, kind of that. And then, but like the relationship, the dynamic in the family and in the community is different than here in the Western world. Like, here, I really like the individual, the culture is more individualistic, and it does have its advantage, very good. You know, we don't have to try to chain ourselves so much to fit in. So that was the advantage of the Western world. But in the East, there also the advantage of learning how to be with other people and learning to see that ourselves, our personality, is not fixed. It's very fluid. Back then, I thought I was an extrovert because, you know, my friends and my family would drag me out into a lot of things. And in the beginning, I was shy. I was always shy. So I was reluctant to go. But eventually, you know, like, it was like a cultural thing. Like, everybody has to do it, you know, like, everybody have to go do karaoke. And we just do. Nobody in Vietnam had never done in karaoke before. We just got dragged into it. It's like a rite of passage. So, like, so eventually I thought, okay, I grew up and I thought, well, yeah, very, you know, open, so I must be an extrovert. And then it came to the US, I'm like, no, I'm actually very introverted. But it's easier to realize that how they deal with, you know, like, a lot of anxiety and loneliness and depression over there is much different. And the rate of just using, you know, like, a lot of medication was much lower compared to here. And that also depends, you know, like, it's taken into account the environment, the culture we're born into, and how we deal with things. But yeah, so I think it's like, I have this privilege of growing up there. So I understand there is more to a soulmate relationship. Like, I don't grow up and think, and that's one of the blessings there. Like, the girl over there, yes, we think about marriage, but we don't grow up and just focus on finding a soulmate. We also focus on study and getting career, stuff like that. So in a way, it's a little bit more rounded than in the West, and with, you know, people just really separate that. And yeah, so I think it's good to see that different
culture. And I think community, the lack of community in the Western is, I think, the downfall for a lot of depression, anxiety. They're saying, I've read lots of studies that, you know, it is because of us being isolated why people are so depressed, and this is even before COVID. I think culturally we are isolated and family is not as important. I saw that when I'm a nurse, when I worked in the hospital, and you know, usually the other cultures, like Asian or Muslim, there's a lot of different Indian, they would come in and they'd be loads of family always, but it was a white Westerner, they were usually alone. So I saw it with my own eyes. And so, but you're getting the best of both cultures. And I'm glad you saw the positive. And speaking of soulmate, I did manifest my soulmate, but I hear you because he is not the most important thing in my life. I have so many other great things. I feel like I'm very well-rounded. He just helps me grow, but I think he's cherry on the cake, but I have a whole cake. So I think it's important for people to know that yourself, your spirituality, your passions, your joy is all you, and nobody else can give that to you. So
exactly. Yes. Yeah. I think that's exactly how I work, my client. Like, you are complete on your own level already. Yeah. You don't need anybody else to complete you.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
But eventually, once you get to like a certain level of healing, then you actually attract your soulmate. Yes.
Right.
So they enhance your happiness and they push you to grow for the better. Yes.
Yep.
But
it's not like the Hollywood movies where it's like love at first sight and you're like completely crazy about each other. To me, my soulmate is my absolute best friend. And he's like a warm blanket on a cold winter's day. Like, he's just that to me, but he's not everything. But I had to do the work before I met him. So absolutely. Right. Yes.
I think people were missing that one. I think we were screwed by the media and Disney movie. We were just thinking like, okay, like, you know, somebody to drop out of the sky and we met them and love at first sight and we all go crazy and everything gonna be like that forever.
I'm divorced. Trust me, I know it's not forever.
that's not how it works. So really, it's really the true work really start with ourselves.
Yes.
And once we are like more wholesome and more, you know, at a better level of healing, then that's when we're going to meet the right person. And the right person is definitely not going to be the one that make you crazy, drop your pants kind of thing, but it's going to be your best friend.
Right. Right. I love that.
Nourishing support.
Yes.
And and growing up in Asia is really great because it gives me that understanding of other type of relationship and the importance of community.
Yes.
And we can actually, you know, cultivate those kind of relationship in the US because we are known now, you know, that we do have a lot of control in our life.
And I think the benefit of COVID, I think more people are realizing how much we need each other. So I think it's actually one of the gifts that we got this past year is that people say, oh my gosh, I really, really want community. I don't want to be alone. I want to find people, and not just romantically, but just find people who have friends who are lonely, reach out to them. Like, you know, community is everything. It really is. And again, you see that in your culture and we don't have as much here. So we got to bring it over here. How can you change our culture, Tiffany? Come on. Where are you working on it? I can tell. Well, Tiffany, I probably should let you go, but thank you so much for this. This has been an amazing hearing about your experience. I'm so fascinated by other people's cultures. But one thing I really want to say is I'm so impressed with the awakeness that you are, that I see and I feel from you, and that you are living your truth and you're sharing with the world. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to let everybody know that we all can do this.
Yeah.
And you know, and when we are truly happy from the inside, other people can tell. Other people can feel it. So.
Yes. And I can feel it from you. I can definitely feel it. Well, Tiffany, how can people reach out to you if they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, so they can learn everything about me and contact me on my website, spunkyspiritualist.com. And I have Facebook, but that's going to be the only social media I have.
Nice. Okay. What is it? Spunkyspiritualist.com?
Yes.
I love that. That's a great website.
Yes. That's my personality. I think that encapsulates, you know, my personality very well because I'm spiritual, but I'm actually very practical and I curse a lot. So.
Uh-huh. That's great. You know what? They always say that's more authentic. The more you cuss, the more authentic and loving you are. I've heard this.
I will go with that.
Good. All right. Well, thank you again, Tiffany, for being here. And thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Tiffany as much as I did. If you have a story you want to share on my podcast, please reach out to me by going to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And I hope you all have a wonderful, miraculous day. And thank you so much for listening and happy manifesting. Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.